Leviticus 25, verse number 10 says, proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all the inhabitants thereof. I want to say hello to everyone, and it's good to be back one more time. This is the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. This is brought to you by the Mount Lebanon Baptist Church in Vilas, North Carolina. That is just outside of Boone on Highway 105 South, and then 1 mile up Baird's Creek Road. From the middle of Boone, the big intersection where Wendy's is, and that's how everybody gives directions in Boone, the intersection where Wendy's is. If you go on Highway 105 South towards Fosco from there, it's 5 miles. And so just outside of Boone, if you're visiting in the high country, we'd love for you to come by and be with us. We have, now tonight, this is Tuesday, the 22nd, and we're having our midweek prayer service tonight instead of Wednesday night. And so we got something else going on in the vicinity tomorrow night, so we're going to have our service this week tonight on Tuesday night. We'll be meeting, but normally we meet every Wednesday night at 7. We have our midweek prayer and Bible study every Sunday morning, 10 a.m. Sunday school for all ages, and then at 11 our Sunday morning worship and preaching service. And so we'd love for you to come by and visit with us. It is Thanksgiving week, and I've been thinking more about that than usual. Well, I know we should be thinking about that all the time. We have a lot to be thankful for, but I want to say happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I hope you have a wonderful week or have had. Noah's in the studio with us today. I appreciate him and all he does to help me on the radio broadcast. And Noah, I'm thankful for that. I mean, I just couldn't do it without you. And so I very much appreciate all you do. And he works hard. And I really, really appreciate it. I want him to know that. How's your day so far?
It's going well. And I'm always thankful to be here and thankful to have the opportunity to help out here on the radio. I do enjoy sitting in on these broadcasts and helping with the other broadcasts we do as well. So I'm also thankful. And we do want to say how much we appreciate our listeners, those who listen in right here on AM 1450, WATA, and 96.5 out of Boone, North Carolina. Those who listen in on AM 690, WZAP, out of Bristol, Virginia. And those who listen in on 89.1 KPGT, The Truth, out of Watertown, South Dakota.
All of our listeners we are thankful for, mm-hmm. and we appreciate the opportunity that we have to be on the different radio stations. Now, we have been in the past, we're going to do something just a little bit different today, but we've been studying the subject of civics, which is the right and duty of citizens and how the government works. And then last week we started leading into the subject of education, and I think the theme ought to be education, not indoctrination. And it seems like so much today, and we talked about this last week, but you know, in the beginnings of our country, the emphasis was on reading, writing, arithmetic. They taught the Constitution, they taught civics. They used the Bible early on in our country. The Bible was the textbook. You know, that's all they had. They didn't have what they have today. But it seems like we've gone far away from that. But and we referenced last week to, you know, it's who's out rioting on the streets now, who's causing all the commotion. And, boy, since the election, we've had all kinds of things going on. But I want to play something for you today. And this is just an example, one example of that sometimes things never change. This is a clip from a old TV show in the 60s. It was called Dragnet. This is even before my time. I know what it is, but I never watched it. I mean, that's before I was born. But Dragnet, and these two cops, and I can't even remember their names. I ought to know them, but one guy was on MASH. Do you know Noah?
Joe Friday and Bill Gannon.
Joe Friday and Bill Gannon. So they've arrested this guy, and he's what they would have said in the 60s, a hippie. And he's talking about he wants to build a new country. They've been out protesting and destroying property. You know, sort of you know, some things never change. But I want you to listen real close to what these gentlemen say to him. And, you know, they give a little bit of history of our country. This falls under the category of a lot of things. They talk about some history, about the way it used to be. They give several examples of, you know, our country is not perfect, but we have a lot to be thankful for. And then they give the young man a little lesson on, you know, take this country and make it great. And so there's a lot of good things. It's about 3 minutes long, and so we're going to play it for you. Some of you may remember when Dragnet was on, and some of you may not. But listen real close to what they say to this young man.
You just don't understand.
Maybe we do, son. Don't think you have a corner on all of virtue vision in the country, or that everybody else is fat and selfish and you're the first generation to come along that's felt dissatisfied. They all have, you know, about different things, and most of them didn't have the same opportunity and freedoms that you do. Let's talk poverty. Most places in the world, that's not a problem, it's a way of life. And rights, they're liable to give you a blank stare because they may not know what you're talking about. The fact is, more people are living better right here than anywhere else ever before in history. So don't expect us to roll over and play dead when you say you're dissatisfied. It's not perfect, but it's a great deal better than when we grew up. 100 men standing in the street hoping for one job, selling apples on the street corner. That's one of the things we were dissatisfied about, and you don't see that much anymore.
You're taller, stronger, healthier, better educated, and you live longer than the last generation. And we don't think that's altogether bad. You've probably never seen a quarantine sign in your neighbor's door. Diphtheria, scarlet fever, whooping cough. Probably none of your classmates are crippled with polio. You don't see many mastoid scars anymore. We've done quite a bit of fighting all around the world. Whether you think it was moral or not, a lot of people are free today to make their own mistakes because of it. And that may just include you.
I don't know. Maybe part of it's the fact that you're in a hurry. You've grown up on instant orange juice. Flip a dial, instant entertainment. Dial seven digits, instant communication. Turn a key, push a pedal, instant transportation. Flash a card, instant money. Shove in a problem, push a few buttons, instant answers. But some problems you can't get quick answers to, no matter how much you want them. We took a little boy into Central Receiving Hospital yesterday. He was 4 years old. He weighs 8.5 pounds. His parents just haven't bothered to feed him. Now, give me a fast answer to that one. One that'll stop that from ever happening again. And if you can't settle that one, what about the 55,000 Americans who will die on the highways this year? That's nearly 6 or 7 times the number that'll get killed in Vietnam. Why aren't you up in arms about that? Or is dying in a car somehow moral? Tell me how to wipe out prejudice. I'll settle for just the prejudices you have inside yourselves. Show me how to get rid of the unlimited capacity for human beings to make themselves believe that they're somehow right and justified in stealing from somebody or hurting somebody. And you'll just about put this place here out of business.
I don't think that we're telling you to lose your ideals or your sense of outrage. They're the only way things ever get done. And there's a lot that still needs doing. And we hope you'll tackle it. You don't have to do anything dramatic like trying to come up with a better country. You can find enough to keep you busy right here. While you're at it, don't break things up in the name of progress or crack a placard stick over somebody's head to help him see the light. Be careful of his rights, because your property and your person and your rights aren't any better than his. And next time, you may be the one to get it. We remember a man who killed 6 million people and called it social improvement.
So hang in. Don't try to build a new country. Make the old one work. It has for over 400 years. And by the world's standards, that's hardly more than yesterday.
That's pretty good. I've listened to it now about 3 or 4 times, and every time I listen to it, I catch a little something else. But he says, don't try to build a new country. Make the old one great. And boy, we have a obligation to do what little we can. And that was my desire when we started the Blessings of Liberty radio broadcast. I think this year will be 6 years that we have come and done this. And just to do my part, just to do a little part to educate people, to show the history of our country. And like we're coming back around to talking about education versus indoctrination. Let me give you an example of that. Now, when I was growing up, and if time allows, I'm going to get to this. I'm going to talk about the Pilgrims a little bit. I'm going to talk about the first Thanksgiving. But I would encourage everybody to watch a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. That is the most, and I know you might laugh at that, but it is very good. It tells the story of Thanksgiving. It uses Charlie Brown and Snoopy and all of that, but it's historically accurate. And I've watched that several times, and I'm amazed at the detail that they put on telling the story of the pilgrims to come. And I would encourage you, I believe that it comes on one of the channels. I don't know, I'm sure you can find it a lot of places, but it comes on Wednesday night. But just by way of contrast, education versus indoctrination. There is a modern Thanksgiving movie, I guess it is. And I watched it the other night, thought it would be a family thing, you know, sat down together, cute little story. And it was called Free Birds. And it was a movie. It was a full-length movie. But anyway, I watched it. It's hard for me to get into stuff like that. But it says at the beginning that it's fictional and they borrowed historical examples and all like that. So they're not claiming to be historically accurate. But as I watched that, I compared that to a Charlie Brown Thanksgiving. And Free Birds was this. Let me just explain it quickly, and you'll see where I'm going. It was saying that these two turkeys, they go back in time, and they try to change the turkey being the main course at Thanksgiving. And, you know, long story short, they are able to do that. They travel back in time, and everybody ends up, instead of eating turkey at Thanksgiving, they end up eating pizza at Thanksgiving. And it's just a dumb little story, you know, and I'm glad I didn't pay anything for it. But what bothered me about that, and I didn't sit down to watch it to be critical of it, but what bothered me about it was they mentioned two people by name, nobody else, but they mentioned Miles Standish and they mentioned Governor Bradford. Now, in the Plymouth Colony, Miles Standish was the captain or the military leader. He was in charge of going out on the expeditions and exploring and finding food. And so he was their military leader. And then Governor Bradford, he was the governor. He was the leader. And what bothered me about that was they made Miles Standish out to be a villain. I mean, the way he was painted and the way he talked and everything, you would just get the impression that this is a bad person. And then Governor Bradford, he was made out to be selfish. He was made out to be, what he was doing was they played it like that he was in his little cabin. And he was eating all the food while the settlers, the pilgrims, while they were out starving to death. And they'd come and knock on his door, and he'd come out, and he's wiping his mouth, you know. He's real big and heavy, and everybody else is skinny, and they don't have anything to eat. And it made him out to be a very selfish person. And so I looked at that, and I compared that to the historical the way it really was, and it made me think indoctrination versus education. Governor Bradford was not like that. He was very selfless. In fact, when they came to America, they made a great, great sacrifice in that they left their five-year-old son with the other pilgrims back in Holland. Now, you talk about a sacrifice in order to do that. They risked everything. They paid a great price to come to this country. And they were both great men, good men, godly men. But they were portrayed in that modern-day movie about Thanksgiving as being evil. And, of course, you got a lot of other things in that. It was evil to eat meat. You know, everybody ought to just eat pizza and vegetables. But there's a lot of difference in the way the world is. I believe it's very, very important that we learn our history, that we know the great price it was paid for us to come, for us to live here in this great country. And so I think about the pilgrims. I'm going to say just a few things about them. And I have talked about some of these things before. But when I think about the pilgrims, I think about Hebrews chapter 11, verse number 13. And the Bible says over there, and it's talking about the great followers, the great men and women of faith in the Bible. But it talks about pilgrims in this verse. And the pilgrims likened themselves to pilgrims. They compared themselves in the Bible to being pilgrims, that they were just passing through, that they were heading for another country, which was heaven, and that they believed that they would go there. They were trusting in Jesus Christ and His salvation to take them to heaven. And so they realized they were pilgrims. They classified themselves as pilgrims. But the Bible said over there, Hebrews 11:13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises, but having seen them afar off, and were persuaded of them, and embraced them, and confessed that they were strangers and pilgrims on the earth. And so I think about the pilgrims, the story of the pilgrims. And if you study American history, you will find that there are literally thousands of Thanksgiving proclamations in our history, not just from the president. You know, you think about president, Congress, things like that. But you go back to local towns and townships, and you look at hard times in our country. You look at times of war. You look at during World War II and World War I. There were towns, municipalities, counties that had hundreds and thousands of men gone off to war. You look about during the Civil War, the American Revolutionary War. Can you imagine in your town the leading men gone? A lot of them didn't come back, and sometimes none of them came back. And these places would have times of Thanksgiving. They would have time. They would proclaim times of prayer. They would proclaim days of fasting and repentance. And it's very common in our history. You have the influence of Christianity. You have the influence of the Bible. Just some examples of that. And so you have proclamations, local, state, and federal examples. But Abraham Lincoln, during the darkest time period of the Civil War, Abraham Lincoln declared Thanksgiving to be an annual national holiday. That is why we have it as a national holiday. But it was observed all the way back to the time of the Pilgrims. But Abraham Lincoln, here's a little history note for you. He's the president that officially made Thanksgiving a national holiday. And so he did that not during the best of times, but during the darkest of times. And he said, 1863, he said, "I do therefore invite my fellow citizens to set apart and observe the last Thursday of November next as a day of thanksgiving and praise to our beneficent Father who dwelleth in the heavens." Now, of all the holidays there are, Thanksgiving is my favorite. I like Thanksgiving, and I like the 4th of July. They are very, very meaningful. I like Christmas, don't get me wrong, but Thanksgiving, 4th of July, especially Thanksgiving. Thanksgiving is a Christian holiday. There's no way to get around that. When you're talking about thankful, you got to talk about who am I thankful to? What am I thankful for? But who do you be thankful to? Well, there's a lot of things you can only be thankful to the Lord for. Nobody gave it to you. You didn't buy it anywhere. You didn't get it yourself. You ought to be thankful for your health, for your family, for the place that you were born, for the, you know, there's a lot of things that we can talk about being thankful for. And if you go back even before that, the first official act of Congress after completing the Constitution and the Bill of Rights, George Washington gave a Thanksgiving proclamation. And in that Thanksgiving proclamation of 1789, he said, "I do appoint Thursday, the 26th day of November, 1789, that we may all unite to render unto him our sincere and humble thanks for his kind care and protection." And at that time, a Mr. Roger Sherman, he said this about Thanksgiving. He said it was warranted by a number of precedents in Holy Writ. That means that they got the example of a day of Thanksgiving from the Bible. A number of examples from Holy Writ. Now, the Pilgrims, When they came to America to begin with, they didn't come straight to America. They went to Holland first. The reason they went to Holland to begin with was to flee religious persecution. They'd been being persecuted in England. And so they had found out that there was a toleration in Holland for their way of believing that they could not receive in England. And their desire was to have, number one, religious freedom. And they also wanted an opportunity for their children. You know, that's not so different from our desires today. What do I want for my children more than anything? I want them to grow up in a free country. I want them to have religious freedom. I want them to grow up and to have an opportunity. You know, I look back over my life. I've had a great opportunity. Many of you today could say, I've had an opportunity. Most people have come, like we were played the little dragnet scene there to begin with. Those men were talking about remembering the Depression and 100 men standing in line for one job. Things aren't perfect in America, but I'll tell you, we have come a long ways. And the generation of World War II, and then even the baby boomers, and then my generation, we want to work on our country that our children might have an opportunity. And so that's all the pilgrims wanted. They wanted religious freedom. They wanted opportunities for their children. They also wanted to spread the gospel. They had a desire to spread the gospel. And the pilgrims, they were like a round peg in a square hole. There was nowhere that they fit in England. And so they separated. And in their separating from the Church of England, from the established church, they were persecuted because of that. And so they fled to Holland. They went to Holland, and they went to Holland in 1608. 125 of them went to begin with. It didn't take long. A few years passed by, and there were 400, 500 of them. And they were over there in Holland. Well, they still had problems in Holland. While they were in Holland, they were surrounded by people that spoke a strange language. You know, you go to another country, it'd be hard to fit in if you didn't speak the language. Well, they didn't speak the language. The people had strange customs. The laws over there forbid them to have private property. And so they worked for landlords. They couldn't have their own houses. They couldn't have their own farms. And they'd work for 12, 15 hours a day for their landlords for what? For nothing other than pay. But they had no hope of ever gaining their own land. And so all these things accumulated into them coming together and deciding, you know, we need to do something else. And after a long time of prayer and fasting and seeking the Lord, they applied for a patent to go to America. And they finally got a patent to go to Virginia and to establish a colony. And so they talked about the things that they wanted most of all. They said this, for example. They said, a great hope and inward zeal they had of laying some good foundation for the propagating and advancing the gospel of the kingdom of Christ in those remote parts of the world. And so one of their desires was to go somewhere where they could start fresh and new, and that they could have a good foundation. And when we think about our country today and all the many blessings that the Lord has given unto us, do you know that's exactly what they were able to do? They laid a good foundation for us. And we praise the Lord for that. When they came, and they didn't land in Virginia, but they actually landed in Cape Cod, which is later Massachusetts, that resulted in their Virginia patent being absolved. You know, they couldn't just get on the interstate and run from Massachusetts down to Virginia. They landed in the wilderness. And the result of that, though, when they came and they finally got here, they came together and they made the Mayflower Compact, America's first government document. This is the first time in the recorded history of the world where men came together in agreement and formed their own civil government. There was no king over them. I mean, they're over here all by themselves. They've got nobody to go back to. They can't go back. They're going to stay here. They've got to have some form of government. And so they come together and they come up with the Mayflower Compact, and they all sign that together. This is how we're going to govern ourselves. And in that compact, you know how it starts out? It starts out like this: in ye name of God, amen. That's how it starts out. America's first government document. People are trying to erase the handprint of God upon our nation. But I'll tell you, you've got to have a mighty big eraser to do that. And I don't believe it's possible to do that. All through our history, we see the fingerprints of God. We see the Lord. And it starts out, in ye name of God, amen. And to the Mayflower Compact, they had a desire to come and lay some good foundation. Do you know, just in the Mayflower Compact, you have the foundation for a country based on a Christian heritage, based on the Bible. You have the foundation for a government of we the people, by the people. That foundation was laid in the Mayflower Compact. You have the foundation for the Declaration of Independence. When they referred to King James in the Mayflower Compact, they said, King James, by the grace of God, recognizing that King James ruled by God's allowing him to rule, that the only reason he was the ruler was by the grace of God. They put God above the king. And so we have the foundation of the Declaration of Independence, of looking to God for our unalienable rights. You have the foundation for even the American Revolution, which resulted in freedom of religion. All of those things can be traced back to the Mayflower Compact. They had a desire to come to this country and to lay some good foundation. And that is exactly what happened. God allowed them to do that. And we look back today, and all of our blessings we can trace back. We can trace back. There has been a good foundation laid, of course. And if you know anything about the history, the very first year was a very hard year. It was very dangerous. Half of them died. Governor Bradford said this, but that which was most sad and lamentable was that in 2 or 3 months' time, half of their company died, especially in January and February, being the depth of winter, and wanting houses and other comforts, which means they didn't have houses and other comforts, being infected with the scurvy and other diseases, which this long voyage and their incommodate condition had brought upon them, so as there died sometimes 2 or 3 of a day, that of 100 and odd persons, scarce 50 remained. Half of them died during that first winter. But the Lord blessed them. The Lord made a way for them. The Lord sent Squanto, and he helped them greatly. It's just a great, great story to think about. Our time has quickly come and gone. Let me read this to you. Here's what Governor Bradford said. He said, "Thus out of small beginnings, greater things have been produced by his hand that made all things of nothing and gives being to all things that are. And as one small candle may light 1,000, so the light here kindled hath shone unto many, yea, in some sort to our whole nation. Let the glorious name of Jehovah have all the praise." And so they praise the Lord for his blessings. I hope you have a great Thanksgiving, a good week. Tune in next time. God bless. We'll be right back.